You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak today. As a young employee of the California Department of Water Resources, Frank Kirky decided to make the annual snow survey a public event in order to connect residents with their water supply. Now, after 3 decades, he's retiring from the department, but he's not exactly done focusing on the Sierra snowpack. Frank Kirky joins us now with a glimpse of what's next and what he's learned over the years about the importance of California's annual frozen reservoir, I guess you could call it,
exactly.
Right? Frank, welcome to Insight. Really nice to have you here.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
So let's start with that snowpack, right? Could California continue to be the powerhouse that it is without it?
It would certainly change how we do business. The pattern of water in California is that the rain doesn't fall where we use the water typically.
Uh-huh.
As you can imagine, you know, Los Angeles and the Bay Area are basically what we call a Mediterranean climate, meaning that most of our precipitation occurs during the winter, and then we typically have 4 to 5 months of virtually no rainfall. And of course, the level of precipitation down in Southern California is much less than it would take to sustain the economy as it is today.
My father used to look up at the snow-capped peaks and say, money in the bank, son.
Exactly. in more ways than one.
Right?
Yeah.
What if the same amount of moisture or even more moisture fell in the Sierra but in the form of rain? How much of a difference would that make for our water supply?
Again, that would significantly change how the reservoirs are operated. Right now, the reservoirs are really designed and operated in conjunction with the water that's stored in the snowpack. That's probably 3 to 5 times what we call the built reservoir capacity.
They're part flood control, right?
Exactly. And that's the dilemma. The major reservoirs, what we call the terminal reservoirs like Folsom, Shasta, and others, are dual function, where during the winter, they are in a flood control mode, and there is space deliberately kept open or vacant in anticipation of event that, you know, we probably are going to have starting, about 10 o'clock today. So there's room to capture those peak flows and then gradually release them into the lower watersheds. So if you're having a rain-dominated environment, then you are going to still have to maintain flood control space. But because the rain is immediate runoff, come the springtime, you will not have that snowmelt runoff to refill the space in the reservoir.
Keeps those lakes filled into the summer months.
That's exactly
when
correct.
We need it the most.
Exactly.
So for the past 30 years, we've seen you trudging, well, not every year. Some years you weren't trudging because sadly there was no snow, but trudging through the snow to take these annual surveys. I imagine in 30 years, specifically these past 30 years, you've seen some changes in what you go out and measure.
Actually, I think the signals that people are seeing are at the level where most of the snow courses are located are still above the typical snow line, even as it may be creeping up the mountains. So what we see is quite frequently masked by what we call interannual variability or year-to-year changes, where you can go from, you know, driest on record to wettest on record in a single, between the seasons. And that's one of the big challenges is that inability to forecast with any accuracy what may be going to occur, you know, next season. And if we could forecast, that would be extremely valuable in terms of reservoir management.
Our previous guest, Daniel Swain, was saying that his home used to be a home where, you know, snow would fall on the ground on a regular basis. Now the snow line is above that house. Which communities here in Northern California could you point to that most likely fit that description, like the Placervilles?
Placerville is always has been an example of kind of ephemeral snow where they will get snow during the winter, but then it doesn't linger. They get snow, it melts, they get snow again. So you'd need to go a little higher than Placerville. to where you would expect a more seasonal snowpack to occur.
Mm-hmm. What would you most like to see changed in the way California manages its water supply?
Oh, boy.
Now that you're retiring from the DWR, you can say this kind of stuff.
I think reservoirs are managed quite well in the sense that there's a plethora of regulations regarding, you know, in-stream releases and all those sorts of things. And the local, you know, the water managers do the best they can to meet those regulations and still provide both flood control and water supply. And it's always been the responsibility of the Snow Surveys Program to give them the tools they need to efficiently do their job.
Mm-hmm.
It's the likelihood of a major reservoir construction, while it's been proposed, certainly there hasn't been any activity in the past probably two or three decades. So we're essentially looking at managing what we have right now.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the federal government might be getting behind construction of new reservoirs, but still we're not seeing anything concrete.
We're not seeing much activity in that arena, and most of the good what we'll probably see, I expect, will be enlargement of reservoirs, where you have an existing structure.
Like Shasta.
Like Shasta is a very good example, and others throughout the state where there's a potential to enlarge the reservoir to capture some additional winter runoff.
And I mentioned how the state manages it, but not all the reservoirs are managed by the state. Like Folsom is federal, right?
That's right. Folsom is Bureau of Reclamation, mm-hmm. and there are others. So you've got a number of players. You have the Army Corps of Engineers who own and operate quite a few reservoirs up and down the state, particularly in the Central Valley. You've got the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation with Shasta as their key reservoir, but others further down south. And then you have a lot of local agencies who may not own the reservoir, but they have a great deal of input into how it's managed.
During the peak part of this past record-breaking drought, was at any time were you thinking, we might not get any more water for a really long time? But yet the reservoir, you know, the state did a pretty good job of managing those reservoirs during that peak.
Absolutely. And that gets back to the idea of the seasonal forecasting, where, you know, the value of that would be tremendous. Where there is so much, one of the big difficulties we face in managing a scarce resource is the uncertainty. You have to manage for both the, you know, the peak and the trough. Where during a drought, you're managing, you know, very low supplies.
Yeah, how much do we let out? You know, because we don't know what's coming.
Right, right, and it's a balancing act. You know, if you conserve too much, or, you know, don't release as much water as possibly you might, and then next year is wet, then you've got economic impacts from that lack of water during that season. But yet if you kind of bet the bank on it and you let out too much, and then the following year is still dry, and then you've got real problems.
We're speaking with Frank Gerke, known for the past 30 years as the guy who takes the annual snow survey in the Sierra Nevada. And Frank, I understand you're not 100% walking away.
No, I expect to still keep involved. There's a program that we started back in 2013 called the Airborne Snow Observatory in partnership with the Jet Propulsion Lab and NASA. And that's using a LIDAR from a fixed-wing aircraft to measure snow depth, and then a fairly advanced snow physics model for the density. So we are now able to compute extremely accurately a basin-wide snow water equivalent, and that never existed before.
Total game changer?
Completely a game changer. Already, in fact, agencies are not using it directly because, you know, it's new technology.
Yeah.
But they're already finding a lot of insight into how the existing models are incorrect.
Is there a point at which we won't see a Department of Water Resources employee trudging out to do the manual surveys because this other method is just so accurate there's no need to?
Well, I think we'll continue to have the manual surveys for the foreseeable future simply because you need that ground truth. You need to have not only your confidence, but also the confidence of the water managers. So you're going to have ongoing ground-based measurements for the foreseeable future.
Finally, 30 years ago, when you started bringing this to the public, did you ever think that it would be something that just, you know, it might be a select group of people, but you do have followers, like people really,
which is really scary.
Right? People like your work. Did you expect it to be so popular?
I did not. We actually expected after the drought 87 to 92, obviously there was a tremendous amount of interest during that time period. And I thought, well, after the March miracles and that sort of thing, that the media would in fact lose interest. And there was clearly, there's always a pattern, of course. If it's really wet or really dry, there is increased interest. But I did expect that, eventually they'd stop coming up and, we just go about our business.
But it didn't happen.
No, it didn't. We created a monster.
Right. That's California Department of Water Resources Frank Gehrke talking about his 30 years of work with the annual snow survey in the Sierra Nevada. And what's next following his retirement? You can find more about his influence in Cap Radio environment reporter Ezra David Romero's latest story at capradio.org or later today during All Things Considered. Thanks for being on Insight, Frank.
Well,
pleasure to meet you in person.
Me. Pleasure to meet you.
I've seen you on television and via Facebook Live so many times, but never face-to-face. And as always, we have more at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.